Hey, welcome back to Show Me Today. When you think of St. Louis sports, you think of the Cardinals, Blues, soon an MLS franchise. But what about things like corkball, chess, boxing? I mean, I even think of bowling. All part of a strong sports culture. Ed Wheatley wrote a book, St. Louis Sports, Forgotten Teams and Memories from America's Greatest Sports Town. Ed tells Cameron Connor why St. Louis is the best sports city.
I think St. Louis is the best sports town in America, and it's justified in this centuries-plus book chronicling such a diversity of sports. We are definitely not a one-team or two-team town. Our history is so rich across so many sports, and you just really can't find that in other cities. And it's not just the diversity of all these sports. It's the diversity of the athletes themselves and the teams and how St. Louis was a real breaking edge in so many things, whether it was having the second and third African-Americans to play baseball. And, you know, they both played on the same team, which was another first. You know, we have the diversity of, let's say, Arthur Ashe growing up as a tennis prodigy in Richmond, Virginia. And it gets to the point he can't play against whites. He can't play indoors. He comes of all places from Richmond to Richmond Heights, Missouri, in a suburb of St. Louis, to hone his game and become the great player. You know, we have so many things from, you know, women's bowling being created here in St. Louis. And when you speak of bowling, we were the bowling capital of the world. We were the soccer capital of North America, the wrestling capital of the world. And today we're the chess capital of the world. And, you know, it's all of these little things. Four of the most coveted trophies in sports are from St. Louisans. So that's why I said the depth and the diversity is tremendous. And I don't think any other city in America has that.
It does have such an amazing depth, which you go into such fine detail here in this book. But one of the, I think, the largest words that speaks out to me in the title is the word forgotten. Whether it's forgotten players, yeah, forgotten stories, or forgotten teams, how was that enabled to happen? How did that history slip through the cracks for so long?
Well, you know, I think it depends on generations. I think older generations, you know, grasp for this. Like, nobody knows there were four NFL teams in St. Louis, not just the Cardinals, not just the Rams. There were four Major League Baseball teams as well. The St. Louis Hawks that people may remember in the NBA, they were not the first NBA team in St. Louis, nor were the St. Louis Blues the first NHL team in St. Louis. So it's like, you know, that's part of that heritage that's forgotten, that, you know, you ask somebody, who was the first? Name all four NFL teams, and they go, huh? You know, and I think that's what I always joke about this book as I was writing it, and people have told me as they started getting it and reading it, it's full of wow moments. I would sit here and do my research instead and go, wow. You know, like, I knew St. Louis had the first female owner of a Major League Baseball team, Helen Britton. And I saw something about St. Louis had the first owner of a first female owner of a National Football League team bring her team to St. Louis. Initially, I, like everybody else, oh, Georgia Frontier. No. Violet Bidwell brought the Chicago Cardinals, which she inherited from her husband when he died in 1947, and they actually won the NFL title in 47. She brought her team to St. Louis in 1960.
Why do you believe there was so much turmoil? There was so many different angles for why these professional teams left St. Louis in the first place. Yes, those leagues were still growing and expanding in their in their own realms that way, so of course you have to expand to other cities to grow. But you saw so much traffic come through St. Louis. Was this almost seen as maybe kind of a stomping ground where sports had to kind of dig their roots to be able to identify somewhere else, and why did some of them leave?
Well, I think there's two parts to it. Is first of all, when a lot of this starts happening in the early part of the 1900s, St. Louis is the fourth largest city in America, you know, the gateway to the West, all of these things, you know, it was a factory town, a railroad town. And, you know, and then I talk about, you know, sports creates an identity in a town. There's just so many other things had created in St. Louis. You know, we were a railroad town. We were an automobile town. We produced more automobiles across the country with the exception of Detroit. We were number two. And then, you know, we were the leaders in the air and space with McDonnell Aircraft. You know, all the jets that were built that supported the American Armed Forces were built here in St. Louis, and then as well as the first Mercury, Gemini, Skylab, and parts of Apollo were all built here in St. Louis. So, you know, there were parts to that. We were a great city. That's why people wanted to come here. The biggest problem on a lot of these fronts is travel. You know, in those days, like, example, people don't remember the St. Louis Eagles, which were their first NHL team. They were the Ottawa Senators who folded in the late 30s and moved to St. Louis. Well, NHL really screwed up because they kept St. Louis in the division that the Ottawa Senators played in. So they're having to play in Montreal, Toronto, Boston, New York all the time. So they had to cross all these distances. And the initial aspect pre-airplane really added up the cost for teams visiting the St. Louis teams or the St. Louis teams themselves. And then, like I said, what happened also during this period, you had the financial impacts of the Great Depression and World War II. So, you know, there's transportation, there was the outside economics, but they always came back and, you know, they've done well.
Speaking of always coming back, I want to bring it to a very relevant thing that's happening right now with a professional sports organization, the National mm-hmm. Basketball Association. It's a constant right. conversation that they're looking to expand. Why do you believe St. Louis should be one of those cities? And also, do you think the NBA will take their historical background with NBA teams into consideration when they look to expand to cities?
You know, St. Louis and basketball are an interesting concept. You know, some of the greatest players who ever played in the NBA, speaking of Bob Pettit, Cliff Hagan, and others, all played here in St. Louis. I'm like, heck, they even hit. Could you imagine what the history, and maybe they would have never left if Bill Russell, who the Hawks had the rights to, drafted him, and, you know, that's how he got to Boston. The Hawks traded him for Ed McCauley and Cliff Hagan. So there was this greatness of St. Louis basketball. Starts in the colleges. 1948, St. Louis University team wins the NIT. The NIT was the big dance in those days before television expanded it with the NCAA Final Four now. It was the NIT. And this David of a team in 1948 goes to New York, Madison Square Garden, and beats the Goliath team of college basketball, the New York University. And they did it with all St. Louisans on their team. That was, one of the biggest wow moments was to realize that St. Louis U team, every player had grown up and played basketball here in St. Louis. But, you know, would a team come now? You've got to look at the size of the city. St. Louis is not as big as it was, you know, up into the 70s, 80s, 90s. It has decreased. You've got soccer coming in now, which is going to be big. You've got the hockey. You got baseball, of course. And, you know, there's other ventures happening throughout the city. Would they come back? That is probably the least likely to happen in the initial phases. It just didn't happen after 67 when the Hawks left. The Spirits came for 2 years, and that did not bode well. But I really think it's the smallness as St. Louis has downsize, and it's also the downsizing of the business environment. You got to have those businesses to pay for all and support these teams.
Ed Wheatley, he's the author of the new book that recently came out, St. Louis Sports Memories, Forgotten Teams and Moments from America's Best Sports Town. And let's talk about some of the more uncanny sports that aren't as nationally marquee at the moment. And this is where mm-hmm. a great example, even with very, very recent history, that a team can have wild success here in something that is seen as in not the exclusive club as such as the NFL, the NBA, the MLB. You had the XFL, you had the Battlehawks here, and you saw just how loyal St. Louis was to that team. You have sports like bowling, chess, mm-hmm. professional wrestling that St. Louis has taken with open arms and made something so extraordinarily large as far as popularity. How does that occur in a place like this?
Well, I think it's the love of sports themselves. You know, you mentioned the Battlehawks. You know, St. Louis was a leader in attendance. And in the chapters that I talk about soccer, let's say, where after the Stars first came, then you had Stars 2, you had the Ambush, you had all these indoor soccer leagues evolving and folding. It's this dramatic history of soccer from really the 70s, 80s, 90s, and, you know, through the 2000 period. And every year, when you look at all the records, the attendance record, St. Louis was always the highest or the second, but generally they ruled the attendance figures. It's that love of the sport. I mean, you know, chess is a sport. It's recognized by the International Chess Foundation. It's been declared by Congress that St. Louis is the epicenter of chess in the world, and the United Nations has even passed And we know the Chess Hall of Fame and Center down in the central west end of St. Louis. There are more chess grandmasters living in St. Louis than in Moscow. That's how big chess is. And, you know, we surpass that recognition of being the chess capital of the world. It used to be New York there for a while, and we have surpassed them. I think when St. Louis loves a sport, you know, be it the Cardinals, think about this year. They have drawn well over 3 million people. You look at every night on, you know, baseball replays, what have you, seats are empty at these stadiums. St. Louis commits itself.
Commits itself indeed. One of the things that you touched on earlier on in the interview that I'd love for you to speak on more now is the diversity that St. Louis is always welcome into, with open arms, into whichever sport it was. Can you go into some of those examples throughout this book? And obviously, we don't want to give too much detail because we want these readers to go out and read this book. But can you give some tidbits about that?
Yeah. I mean, everybody, you know, I've got these like talking points in these questions. And people, what's the answer? I said, buy the book, you know? It's been great Christmas presents. But, you know, it is. I mean, it goes back to, we all remember Jackie Robinson on April 15, 1947, breaking Major League Baseball's color barrier. And July 5th, Larry Doby does it with the Indians. But a few days later in July, the St. Louis Browns, of all teams, under Bill DeWitt Sr., the father of the Cardinals owner, it's his leadership, he brought in Hank Thompson and Willard Brown, looking for good players, also looking to fill seats with the very large African-American community here in St. Louis. St. Louis, second and third, and they were also the first team to have two African-American players on the team and playing in the lineup. You know, it would be 7 years before the Cardinals. It would be 12 years before the cradle of democracy, Boston, would put Pumpsie Green on the field. Boston was the last team. And to think the irony, it was the southernmost city in the major leagues putting two black players on the field. You know, it just like I said earlier, you know, with Arthur Ashe, with women, you know, Carol Hanks teamed with Arthur Ashe to become the first integrated mixed doubles at Wimbledon. And, you know, it's also women sports, as I spoke earlier, you know, the Bowling Federation was formed here in St. Louis in the early 1900s. We had the Golden Girls of tennis during the 1960s. They were from St. Louis. You know, so kind of like everywhere you looked, you found these types of situations that, you know, we were open accepting. I mean, you know, by and large, you saw St. Louis as this very special town. I mean, you know, the Steamers, remember the MISL Steamers? They actually fielded the first female to play in an MISL game in 2005. So when you go through this ranks of firsts in that area, they're all over the place.
Ed, where can people purchase this book?
You can purchase the book, any book and martyr store. You can get it any online affiliate. You can get it from my publisher, ReedyPress.com, and you can get it, you know, from my website with all my books at WheatleyBooksAndFilms.com.
This has been Ed Wheatley. He's the author of the new book that recently came out, St. Louis Sports Memories, Forgotten Teams and Moments from America's Best Sports Town. Ed, thank you so much for joining us on Show Me Today, The Voice of Missouri.